1366 WFAN.
Well, we are back, and Brooks Koepka winning the Open and the PGA. Got to be Player of the Year, and you know, he committed a bit of a faux pas on the 18th hole. Only in golf do we look at these things where he actually putted out, made his final 2-inch putt to win the championship prior to Adam Scott, his partner. Usually you let the other guy putt out and then you make the final shot to win the tournament, but apparently he said, asked if it was okay for Adam, and Adam said, yeah, go ahead and do it. What the heck? Of course, they made a big deal out of it, saying, oh, you know, what else could Adam say but okay? Bad sportsmanship. Well, we've got a guy on now, Chad Everett Brown. You remember Chad Everett, the actor? And Chad, of course, was an NFL player, and he's got a lot of unique things going on here. He's working for the Pac-10 Network now, but Chad, you have the unique thing of playing for a team, the Steelers, and then coming back to the Steelers, playing for the Patriots, and then coming back to the Patriots. And in the meantime, you played with Seattle as well. So, you know, I guess you you certainly didn't wear out your welcome at those other places because they were happy to have you back.
I think that's a good sign when you leave a team and they're willing to have you back. They must have liked something about me sitting in the front row and taking notes in the meeting.
I would think so. And you have, I would have to say, the most unique business career of any NFL player that I've ever heard, in that you have a company called Pro Exotics. And tell us what you sell with Pro Exotics.
Well, Pro Exotics Reptiles, the name gives it away right there. We were a commercial breeder of reptiles and amphibians for the pet trade. Some years we would produce as many as 10,000 baby reptiles to sell to hobbyists and collectors and pet stores all across the country and in some cases across the world. Now we have transformed into a company called Ship Your Reptiles, so we can facilitate transactions between reptile hobbyists. We do the same things in the aquatics world with Ship Your Aquatics. So I focus on the pet industry, and I do the logistics and all that. So if you're a guy who breeds some reptiles in your bedroom and you want to be able to sell babies to somebody across the country, I can get your baby safely to that ultimate customer, sell you all the packaging material, and give you all the expert advice to safely ship your animal to its new home.
Well, Chad, I hate to quote Indiana Jones, but I will. I hate snakes. Snakes.
Well, that's better than quoting Samuel L. Jackson, because I'm assuming this is a family-friendly
show. Yes. Asps, very dangerous. You go first. There you go. Well, let's talk some football here. Covering the Pac-10, obviously you saw a little bit of Sam Darnold. What's your opinion of him? And I don't know if you saw any of him on Friday, but he looked pretty darn good for the Jets.
He did. There's a couple of different interesting intersections there. Well, I was with the Jets last year as an interim coach, so I had a chance to see that quarterback room, which wasn't really up to NFL standards. Obviously, Josh McCown has been retained as that veteran voice in the room with Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Darnold. But I got a chance to, you know, be on that staff and see how that room was not really getting it done for the New York Jets. So to bring in a guy like Sam Darnold with what he did in the in his Pac-12 career, I think it was a great move for them. I think of the quarterbacks drafted, I think he's the guy with the ultimate most pro potential. And I think he showed it out there the other night. I think the Jets are a team that's literally just a quarterback away of really beginning to improve themselves. Hopefully Sam Darnold can be that guy for them.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I don't know if you heard the update that Christian Hackenberg has just signed with the Eagles. So the Jets let him go. He goes to Oakland. Now he comes to Philadelphia, except there's a little problem there because they've got a guy by the name of Wentz and Foles ahead of him. So I don't think he's going to see too much playing time with the Eagles.
No, he's not. They're bringing him in because he was a guy who was drafted early, and they, you know, he had some talent coming into the NFL. Ultimately, with the Jets, just a guy who never really got up to speed with NFL offenses, really the understanding of NFL quarterback play, the timing of passes, the route progressions. it was pretty clear, even when he was going against the defense running off a scout team card, that this guy had a long way to go. Not surprised the Jets let him go. Not surprised Oakland let him go either. Eagles doing their due diligence, going to kick the tires on the guy who, if they can turn him around, could be a pretty good bargain for them.
Is that stuff you can learn? The fact that he's been in the league as long as he has. I mean, he's certainly not a grizzled veteran, but he's been in for a while and hasn't picked it up. Is that something you can pick up at this point?
I'd say with each progressing year, the odds of you suddenly becoming a guy who's able to retain the offense and then go out there and execute it at a high level, with each passing year, the odds become less and less. You know, people are who they are. You know, players rarely transform themselves throughout their career. The guys may come in undrafted because they were nicked up in college or in a bad system and prove to be good pros, but it's rare that you show up in the NFL, get multiple chances, are never able to fulfill those opportunities, and then somehow, you know, catch lightning by the tail and then suddenly become an all-pro. So the odds are stacked against him becoming even a decent, competent pro at this point.
Okay, I'm going to put you in the position of the general manager and head coach of the Jets, rising from your interim coach, and say, okay, you got these three quarterbacks. You've got the veteran McCown. You got Teddy Bridgewater coming off the injuries, and you've got the rookie kid, the highly heralded Darnold. What do you do? Who do you start? Are you looking to start Darnold game one, or do you say, hey, let's hold our horses and wean him in gradually? What do you do?
I think you bring him in gradually. The track record of early drafted quarterbacks who are, you know, essentially forced on the field before they're truly ready, in some cases, yeah, those guys learn on the job, and I think Peyton Manning led the league in interceptions his rookie year and obviously went on to become not just a great pro, but one of the greatest of all time. But there's also guys like Tim Couch and Carr who never were able to recover from, you know, those rough early years. So when you've got a guy like McCown who can handle the reins anytime you're ready to hand it to him, knows the offense backwards and forwards, is going to be a tremendous pro. I think with that kind of comfort level, you're not forced to put Sam Darnold out there early. And then we saw Teddy Bridgewater also look pretty good. Now, the Jets have talked about publicly and openly they're willing to move him on, looking for either, you know, players in return or draft picks. So we'll see how all that plays out. But from Todd Bowles' perspective, I just think he wants to put the guy on the field who's going to give him the best chance for success to win in week one. Not trying to get Sam Darnold ready for week 8 or week 10 or whatever. Let's give me somebody on the field who can line up under center and execute and get us a win in week one.
What if that guy is Bridgewater? I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but, you know, he did look, 8 out of 9 the other night and made some nice throws. I mean, if he's healthy, he had a couple of really good years to start his career. Does he have a potential with the Jets, or is he just trade bait?
I think there has to be some potential there, depending on how the rest of the preseason goes. Of course, if the Jets are given some offer that they can't refuse, you know, and there's a couple of needs on that team, if somebody's willing to fulfill one of those needs for them, I'd imagine they'd be willing to move on, considering, you know, what they've already seen in Sam Darnold and considering the comfort that they have with Josh McCown. But at the same time, Teddy Bridgewater didn't come in on some $20 million a year deal. He's relatively cheap for a backup quarterback who has won games and started seasons in the NFL. Those are hard to find. And obviously, you don't have to go too much further than the Philadelphia Eagles to recognize that, hey, to have a backup who's won games, started games in the NFL, that can really save our season. So I'd imagine if I'm in that front office for the Jets, I'm weighing offers very carefully while paying attention to those two different opposing things. Can we improve our team at a position of need? Well, then that's going to really get me excited and get my interest versus, hey, we can have a backup quarterback who's cheap, and we can, make sure if our rookie doesn't pan out or if he gets nicked up, we got somebody who can go in and win games for us and is a little bit more athletic and a little bit less brittle than a almost 40-year-old Josh McCown.
Now, you played for the Jets' blood rivals a couple of times, and you played for a guy by the name of Belichick. And I just wondered, as a former player, what is it about him And that organization that is able to sustain greatness for as long as they had, is it just that they have a phenomenal, you know, GOAT quarterback here, or is it something magic that Belichick is able to do?
Bill Belichick is the greatest teacher I have ever been around. So not just football, but just teachers in all my entire life. Now, of course, his, you know, the subject he teaches is football, and he's been in football his entire life, so he's got a mastery beyond a mastery of the subject. Been around great players, offensively and defensively. Been around great coaches. Has turned players into great players themselves. His ability to teach and communicate the important elements of the game that are important to winning a football game to everybody on the team, whether that guy is a 20-year-old rookie, or whether it's me, my last year playing at 38 years old, and Junior Seau is sitting next to me in that linebacker room, and Junior Seau, I think, was 39 or 40 years old at that point, to be able to communicate to all those guys and get everybody to understand what it is to win. And I'll break it down this way. A lot of people who have played sports, after the game and you're watching tape, and a coach may ask you, what were you doing here? And you say, well, coach, I was just trying to make a play. And Bill Belichick's answer to that would be, well, why don't you make the right play? So they teach every player on the field in each situation what is the right play to make. Not the athletic play, not the spectacular play, but the right play. And if you go back and think about those Patriots championships, think about a guy like Teddy Bruschi. I think Teddy maybe only made one Pro Bowl. No one would have considered him really, truly one of the top linebackers of his generation, but he made incredibly timely plays, huge game-changing plays during his time at the Patriots because he took those lessons of what is the right play for each situation and put them into action. So interceptions or strip fumbles in playoff games, plays that turn the tide of a game because he understood the situation and took what Bill Belichick was teaching him.
And it seems it's high football IQ type players, you know, that you've got to be, you know, not necessarily book smart, but you've got to have that knowledge, that understanding of the playbook, that understanding of what the right move is and what the wrong move is. And it takes a certain kind of intelligence, and he seems to find those kind of players.
Well, they certainly value guys who, you know, maybe were fifth-year seniors. He's got a love for guys who were part of the academies. He's got a love for some smaller school guys, schools that were, you know, maybe more highly rated academically because, yes, those guys come in with those type of traits because if you're a 7 as a player, Bill Belichick can find ways to put you in positions where you can be successful. If you're a guy who's a 9 athletically, but because your situational football understanding sometimes is lacking and then you play like a 2, well, then you can't help him because he doesn't know what to do with you. And when I put you in this particular situation, are you going to be able to execute? Well, if you're that guy who's a 7 and you're a 7 every day you show up, he'll find ways to make you successful.
Now, having said all this about Belichick, the thing that dumbfounds a lot of us still is the fact that he's got a 40-year-old quarterback, a great quarterback, but he's 40, and he traded Garoppolo, who now, I guess, is the highest paid quarterback in the game and had 5 incredible games with the 49ers. Explain that trade.
I wish I could explain that trade. It doesn't make any sense to me. I know they were getting towards the end of Jimmy's contract. And, you know, how do you value a guy who's clearly a very good quarterback but has very little tape on the field to prove his value? Were he and his, you know, agent going to refuse contract offers and force themselves in a free agency? There's lots of different angles to that thing. But ultimately, I think Bill feels very confident in his ability to identify another quarterback and suit the team and the offense around that guy to win football games. Now, remember, they went 11-5 with Matt Castle under center. And nowhere else in Matt Castle's many stops around the NFL did he have that kind of success, or did he light it up in the ways that he did when he was a Patriot. So between Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick and the rest of the offensive staff over there. Not that they disregard the greatness of Tom Brady, but I think they are more than confident in their ability to identify quarterbacks and find ways to suit the game plans so they can win whatever way that quarterback needs to win football games.
Chad, we're out of time, but real quick, you mentioned McDaniel's name, and you're a Colorado guy, so you probably saw him with the Broncos. How is it that he had such lack of success there and yet has had tremendous success with New England and is kind of seen as the coach in waiting whenever Bill steps aside?
Well, coaches, you know, they need, particularly young coaches, need structure around them. The Broncos were in a little bit of a weird place. I think Brian Sanders was kind of on his way out as general manager. Pat Bowlen was taking a much lesser role, you know, with the advancing Alzheimer's disease that he was beginning to go through at that time. So he got to, speaking of Josh Daniels, he got to the Broncos when there was no real structure and basis around him. He ended up spreading himself far too thin, trying to do too many roles. If he stays with the Patriots, obviously the Kraft family is going to put structure around them because there's structure existing right now in that organization, even with a coach as powerful as Bill Belichick. There's still incredible amounts of structure around him. I expect Josh McDaniels to be successful, even if it's not with the Patriots, whenever he becomes a head coach because of what he learned in Denver, and to delegate and not spread yourself too thin.
Chad, a pleasure, and I hope we can do this again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Great having being on with you, and anytime for sure.
Okay. Chad Brown, former NFL player who sells and transports snakes. Ah, what a career. All right.